Hear that? It's the sound of someone whacking the ground with a rake. Specifically, they're beating around the bush, which we've done enough of in this ad too, so let's get right to it. The new Moneymaker scratch-off from the Ohio Lottery doesn't beat around the bush. Moneymaker. Play the game and you could win money. Up to $2 million. With more than $88 million in prizes, ranging from $50 to $500, Moneymaker cuts right to the cash. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to TVI. Carl Donnelly here.
Julian Francis Dean here.
It's episode 110. The big one. The one everyone's been waiting for.
one we've been working towards.
Slight delay this week because I was in Sydney and basically, yeah, it was tricky trying to get a window to record it, but it's only a day or so late, isn't it? I'm back in Melbourne. We caught up with podcast favourite Paul McCaffrey. We were meant to catch up with Sean Walsh. He was going to join us.
We're going to do a double header.
Yeah,
is
Sean
was going to
jump in for a chat and that Julian.
But he's in. He's in Westfield.
He's in Westfield Shopping Centre. What did he say when you messaged him?
He just, about 2 hours later, he said, shit, I'm so sorry, I completely forgot, and I'm at Westfield.
He's always at Westfield, Sean. That's where I often...
What, Westfield?
Shepherd's
Bush. The North London one?
Often we'll... We'll have a little
merch. We should go there.
Grab some food. But
we should go there with a live camera.
Just catch him.
Chase him down.
Paparazzi. But it's he's always there. Bloody like.
We'll get him on this week anyway, eh?
Yeah, we'll do another one, won't we? But basically, catch up with Paul McCaffrey as he gets home from the farmer's market, talk through his haul. And
he did a good hot take on COVID.
Some big hot takes. We get some chat about films. Julian's top five films, which I think you only actually gave us one in the end.
Oh yeah,
give us one an episode over the next 5 weeks, and that's it. It's like, but we know, as always, it's a general just chat and a laugh. So
it's fun, isn't it?
It is fun, and we'll be doing a Patreon get together soon, probably maybe in the next week or two. So anyone who wants to come to that, sign up patreon.com/wearetva, and that's it, innit?
That's it, man. Thanks to all our new patrons.
Thanks and our old patrons.
Thanks for your support. Thanks and our old ones.
Support. Other than that, why don't you put your headphones? They've already got them in. I was going to say, put your headphones in. How would you have listened to the?
They're
start?
Listening already.
Put your feet up. Put your feet in. And your headphones up and then listen to this podcast. Bye. We're rolling. Welcome back. TVI, episode 110. Currently waiting for our guests. We thought it'd be fun just to start, innit?
Might as well. Your hair looks good.
I see it. I was just really like, yeah, it's...
And I was talking to me. I can see it in the monitor. Not really.
Just talking to somebody walk past your window. It's growing back in here. I thought when I got it cut, 10 days ago or something, I weren't happy with it, man. I thought they fucking messed the shape up. Now it's getting a bit more length. I'm happy with it. It's nice. Have you had yours cut since they opened the barbers?
I had it cut the other day, yeah.
It looks good.
Little beard trim, you know what I mean?
I need a tash trim, actually. My tash is getting a bit unruly.
I've got this little, they do it in the barbers, but I do it myself once because I don't like it coming over my lip.
No, I don't.
Because
yeah,
I can't
not...
do that. You know when you're in a car and you see a
little ting on the sidewalk.
See a little ting crossing the zebra crossing. A little sweet ting. Not really, I don't do that, obviously. But I just don't like it when I eat and stuff. I eat tings, not really.
I agree, I don't like it. Yeah, I like my tash to have a little line between my mouth and it. but it's just the rest of it's getting unruly, man. I had one hair was long enough, it went up my nose the other day, like flipped up, and it tickled the inside of my nose.
Started picking your nose.
It just came out my top of my head.
I had the second vaccine on Wednesday. I felt like shit the next day, man.
Oh, really? Like, what, just for one day, though?
Mainly one day. It peaked. But I felt I got better quite quickly.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That's good.
It's all right.
Double dose, mate. You're done. Double dropped.
Done, mate. I've been hitting the gym, obviously. I weren't born like this. They don't grow on trees. Swan show. Not really. It just feels good to be hitting the gym again and stuff, man.
Yeah, of course. It's well, how long have they been open? A couple of weeks.
Couple of weeks, yeah.
Because this episode's what, a couple of days late, because I've been in Sydney for a week and just basically busy, but also I was staying with friends in Sydney and their flat was big but echoey, so I was like, I can't be recording this at, like, you know, 10 p.m. at night while they're in bed and I'm just
and
here,
you asked them to lower the ceiling or something. But put some paneling up.
I don't want them listening to us record this. I don't want them to hear the shit I say.
Really late at night. They're just both just like...
in bed while I'm shouting and laughing. And yeah, so I just thought we had to... basically, this is slightly delayed. I'm now back in Melbourne. But yeah, so the gyms are open. What else is open now? Pub beer gardens. I've got mates who keep sending me photos of them in beer gardens and shit.
Yeah, beer gardens. They seem to be filling up. Everywhere that's outside is able to have chairs outside is sort of quite busy.
Nice.
It's quite nice, actually. I've not done anything, but
Paul's McCaffrey here. Is here in the waiting room. We're going to admit him. I don't think he knows we're recording already, so we'll just...
We should do that Rod and Emu thing. There's somebody at the door. Do you remember that?
Hey, mate.
How you doing? Paul,
good. We're recording live already. Paul. We started recording. Just thought we'll just start chatting.
Exciting.
Wait to invite you in.
Hit the ground running.
Somebody doing the dishes in the background, or was that you just moving something?
it's
got the old... It's a good maid, girl, the mate. Maid, good girl. The maid's doing the work in the background.
Exactly. How you doing?
Good, man.
Yeah, good.
Nice. You've been down to Barber's?
Yeah. Yeah.
When did you go?
I went on the first day. It's my friend's place, actually. So he's got me in sort of before they opened on the first. So
nice.
Yeah.
What
I've sort of changed the style, and this it sort does of look little a bit crown different. Bit.
I was going to say, what is he qualified? Not really. What's he do for a living? Not really. That looks good. That looks good, man.
That
looks
good.
You fucking arsehole. it's never not effective, is it? Hairstyle sort of banter. Who cut that by the council? could come around and do my hedges as well, could you? it's never not funny, is it?
It's one of them ones where it's like weight jokes. As a bloke, you're almost legally obliged to laugh at it and go, ha ha, the inside part is like, fucking all right, mate.
really sensitive.
How Crutton's got a great routine about when guys dig out their mates who've put on weight. You know what I mean? Like, you walk into the pub, you haven't seen them for a while, and you've put on a few pounds, and your mates are like, and they start patting your belly and that.
Fucking hell, mate. Good Christmas.
Yeah, like that. And that thing of, like, he just does a very funny impression of what it's like to go through that as a man, when you've got to just pretend that you're fine with it, and you're just not.
Yeah.
It's like, it is funny, man. Like, you just can't, we're just allowed to dig each other out. But
sort of half laugh along with it, and then snap.
Yeah. Oh, there's also...
all right, mate.
Why don't you just fuck off?
Yeah. That's like when you're on a stag do or something, isn't it? And somebody gets a little bit of a nickname or a piss take started early doors on the first day. And, like, it's all fun and they're laughing with it. And day two, it just ramps up and everyone's going on about it. And you can see that they're just ready just to go, like, fucking, all right, I'll fucking get it, man. I'll put on a few pounds.
What's it? Pick on me day, is it?
I can remember when I used to work in a call centre when I lived down in Brighton, and it was like a massive call floor with about 350 people on it, and everyone worked in these pods of six. You probably worked some, if you can't, you can imagine it. And this guy came in, it was a mate of mine, one morning wearing this kind of yellow... short sleeve shirt. It was an odd sort of choice, but it just and the kind of the ripples like of banter bee. As he walked in just spread.
All right, fucking banana man's here, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly. Oh mate, where you been? Darts, just kind of like
look, the bogey's here.
And then this bloke from another campaign just popped up and goes, bloody hell, mate, because my granddad used to wear one of that. Oh, I didn't even fucking know you. like a meerkat just appeared from behind. He goes, oh, my granddad used to wear one like that. So like, who are you?
Oh, man. It's brutal, but it's good. Yeah. But it's nice, you know. It must have been nice to have a haircut. Just go and do something normal.
Yes, lovely. Just been out now. Just been to the farmer's market. I have to apologise for my lateness. I kind of got carried away. Didn't realise the farmer's market was on. Went out to get a coffee. Ended up buying a few bits and pieces.
What did you get at
a
farmer's market? Talk us through
farmer's
market.
I mean,
hall.
This is not some of it. Well, I don't think any of this is really. Well, we've got some tomatoes. That's about the only thing that really is going to go down well on here. Some trout pate. Some eggs, a couple of brownies, not sure of their vegan status, but one of them is a Caramac, the other one was an original, sort of just an original brownie, so I can't imagine that either of those are
any good. What's the pate for, a sandwich?
No, just put it on some cars, you know, the sort of little table biscuits. Oh, yeah.
Yes. I used to love a pate, I did.
Oh,
I still love
I was never a massive fan, to be honest.
Chicken liver pate was one of my favourite things. Right, it's one of the few flavours that you cannot just. There cannot be a vegan version. You know what I mean? You can't make. You know, they'll make like a vegan chicken
mushroom
type burger.
Pate.
Yeah, but it's not.
I
as
just
good,
remember
but, you know.
Pate from like thin white bread sandwiches at like my mate's house or something. And it'd be all squashed.
Did you ever have liver sausage? Ever used to eat that?
Oh man, the smell of liver is one of the most harrowing smells from my childhood. It seemed like we had that about 3 or 4 nights a week.
Yeah, yeah, liver and bacon and onions. My mum, that was one of the few dishes my mum
during the wartime.
Liver and onion. Like, oh god, it's a texture
Gary
of it.
From
really?
Good night, sweetheart. Just get home for dinner.
Oh Gary.
Oh fucky liver and onions. I used to love liver, but only if it was cooked right. You know, I mean, I hated liver growing up because of how my mum cooked it. My mum just cooked it to death. It was dry as fucking, you know, it was gross. And then I remember having it in a restaurant when I was like in my early 20s.
Oh, this is how it's supposed to be.
Yeah, yeah. It turns out like I had chicken livers and they were fried in loads of butter and all
that. It's not
that.
Supposed to be toasted.
Well, that's like black pudding kind of had a bit of a resurgence in. I don't know when it was. Let's just go with the early noughties, but you would have it as a kind of starter with a poached egg and some sort of beetroot. And you'd go like, oh, actually, it can be sort of fried.
Isn't it just
I have to apologise. I'm going to eat my breakfast. It's only toast. Is that okay? I'll kind of try and not.
It's Sunday. It's Sunday brunch, mate. Like
this. It's actually not okay. No, I said it's not okay. You just carried on.
What have you got on your toast?
Now this. It's a chili and cheese sourdough with Marmite.
I love that. A sourdough. I went to a sourdough bread shop in Sydney 2 days ago that was just like the bread was next level, mate. Honestly, it was a piss.
Also, my jaw clicked when I eat, so I apologise if you hear a clicky, like you've got a click track on this.
No, it's fine. I've got a clicky jaw as well.
Have you?
Yeah, I've always had it.
Is it worse when it's cold?
Yeah, probably. But I think it's a... apparently, you can actually strengthen your jaw and it helps get rid of it. But it involves basically doing jaw exercises.
Yeah, that's just never going to happen. I think you can just go, all right. And then you go, wake up. Sorry, what are you doing? Just doing my jaw exercise.
Yeah, you can buy a thing. You can buy an actual, like, it's like essentially like a gimp mask that you have to just put
it
on.
It sounds like the thing that they clamp their eyes open in Clockwork Orange.
It's like a rubber ball.
It's like one of those. It's like people do those hand things, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it's a mouth one.
Rubber ball you put in your mouth. There's like a leather strap you put around the back of your head. And there's some trousers that come with no back on it as well. Like I don't know what that's for.
Like an oral chastity belt.
Then we go get the gimp.
sourdough bread is the... I've got a routine about sourdough bread, just about how that love-hate relationship with it. It is fucking, it's so expensive.
It's amazing.
Proper loaf, but it is so tasty.
Oh.
Why is it so expensive? I mean, what even is sour? What's in it?
It's because of the hassle of making it. Have you ever tried to make a loaf of sourdough bread? It takes fucking 2 days.
All the time.
You ain't even got an oven in your fucking
I'm making
basement.
Some now.
Didn't you have like a belling, one of those kind of... have you still got that with 2 rings on top of it?
Who? A what?
Oh, no, I've got a little oven.
Yeah. Is that not what they're called?
Belling, I don't know. I've got a microwave. I mean, there's a kitchen. There's a kitchen.
Got those
kitchen.
Mini ovens. Yeah.
What else is at the farmer's market? What's like the sort of hot ticket at the farmer's market? You know, every farmer's market, there's always one thing. There's always a massive queue for. I went to one here in Hampton in Melbourne a couple of weeks ago, and I've never seen a queue like anything like this. Right, just for the scones, fresh scones.
Oh,
are they all scone?
Fastest cake in the world.
Oh, God.
Sorry.
Well, granddad used to do jokes like that.
Why the scones were like homemade and really nice.
Yeah, they were being made there and then on a sort of like in these little ovens, you know, like you've got. And they were literally selling like hot cakes. You couldn't, like, the queue was massive. Everything else in the farmer's market, no one could give a shit about, mate. But they, yeah.
And do they have, like, savoury scones, kind of?
All sorts, yeah. But most people were just going for the classic cream and jam, which is... And they had a vegan one, so we got in the queue because there was a vegan option as well. Vegan with coconut cream jam. It's wicked. Absolutely.
What's that like, coconut cream? Nice.
Yeah, it's lovely. I mean, it's 2 nice things, isn't it? Cream and coconut in one item.
Oh, yeah.
There's 2 delicious things. So what's the hot ticket at your farmer's market?
So the tomatoes are good, the Isle of Wight tomatoes, the eggs.
Eggs are popular.
But proper, good, free-range, massive.
What, chicken eggs?
Yeah.
What else is gonna...
I'm not that good at talking about food. Am I? What are they? The round ones?
What, the white and yellow ones? Yeah. There's an arancini stall, but it wasn't there today. Oh. That's usually quite popular.
I love arancini.
I had an arancini yesterday.
What is arancini?
It's sort of like rice balls, aren't they?
It's basically an Italian rice ball, breaded, fried. It's like a risotto ball. It's like it's juicy rice.
Fuck. Yes, and they've got loads of different like varieties. They do like a mushroom one. There's a chorizo one. Yeah, there's kind of wild garlic.
Lovely things. Shouldn't really work. Like, you know what I mean? It feels like it should be dry because it's rice breadcrumbs. It's loads of stuff that you would think that's going to be like eating a fucking mothball, isn't it? But
it's so it good. And you just, yes, 20 minutes in the oven.
What is that, like a starter, is it? Yeah.
Yeah.
It can be served as a starter, or you could maybe sort of serve it up with a bit of salad and have it as a main. That's the beauty of an arancini. It is very versatile.
It is versatile. I mean, you couldn't have it as a pudding unless you're mental, but, right. You know, it does. It can fit other parts of the meal.
I mean, I'm sure they do a sweet arancini now. They do. I mean, they do chocolate pizzas, don't they?
I remember I had a dessert pizza in Malta. 10 years ago. Every food story I've had so far has been in a different location. But I was in Malta, and the restaurant next to the gig had a dessert pizza menu, and we were all like, this is an absolute piss take. It was like, you know, I was there with like Craig Campbell and people like that, and even Craig was shocked. So that'll show you how the tricky the menu was. But it was basically, and one of them had like pecan caramel, like pecan toasted nuts, and it was just a lovely pizza base, and we all like fell in love with them. Every night after the gig we'd all go and get loads of dessert pizzas. Fucking brilliant.
Sounds great.
Yeah, it's very good. But starving. But yeah, that's it. Well, have you ever been to a farmer's market, Julian? You don't strike me as someone who's been to a farmer's market.
I have actually. They've got one right near in Blackheath Village, haven't they, near the station.
Yeah,
I've been there a couple of times, just at a mooch around.
Did you not buy anything?
I bought a coffee.
There you go, that'll do.
And then I fucking headed out, mate. went back home, mate.
It's yeah. Have you done any gigs yet? We were just talking before we hit record.
What's it like doing, I mean, here's
just normal. Yeah. Like I've just for the best part of 5 weeks I've just been like gigging normally.
But geographically, obviously, you're quite close. You're closer to India there than we are. Is that any, you know?
Yeah, but I don't think there's anyone coming in. Like, you know, Australia still has closed borders, so no one can come in unless they've got an exemption.
So is there no COVID there at all?
Not very. Like, you get the odd case happens from that comes out of hotel quarantine. And it's like they just jump on it straight away and it stops. They've got a very good...
They get dragged into the sea.
Mate, honestly, like, it is, you know, it is they proper just like know who's got it and they're on the ball. Their contact tracing thing here as well, like the sort of scanning the apps and all that is very...
Are you still being tested and stuff then? You must be...
No, I've not had a test since quarantine. It's just because none of it... Like, yeah, there's none of it in... I don't think... What was it? Yeah, it's something like, you know, a month since there was last even a single case in Victoria where Melbourne is. So it's just, yeah, no, it's just none of it here, really. I've just been in Sydney for a week and there's none of it there. It's there was a case in Perth that, like, and like literally, like, a case makes the news. One person, like, gets it in quarantine or shows up in quarantine with it. And it's on the news going, fuck, somebody's got it over there.
Well, that was like when the news first came out, when I was hearing it when I was driving to gigs or whatever, and it was on the news on the radio, and they were going, oh, there has been another case of this virus in China. And I'm like, who gives a shit?
Yeah. I know. Change the channel, bro. No. And what? What's this international news about?
It doesn't feel like we're that far away from that ourselves, really. But
I think 30 odd million have been vaccinated.
Yeah.
Outdoor gigs. So there's been something. I saw some people were gigging this weekend, but I didn't think they were allowed to. May the 17th is what I'm kind of working to.
Well, that's what I don't understand, because I thought I thought there wasn't any outdoor gigs, but now I've seen mates putting pictures up of them out in beer gardens doing shows.
Yeah, Milo was doing one, wasn't he? Milo McCabe outside.
I don't know if that was a hot water pilot thing or something.
Or it could have just been. He was in a beer garden and got carried away. Stood up, started doing Troy Hawk.
Stood on a table.
Put his smoking jacket on.
Fair enough.
But yeah, but it's, nothing yet.
No, not yet.
There was a big UFC event last night in Florida, like a full stadium. Arena, rather.
Didn't somebody break their leg quite badly?
Yeah, Chris Weidman. I mean, it's only happened 3 times so far that this injury happens in kickbox, Thai boxing, so the shin snaps.
Oh, man.
And in slow motion, but they don't know until they take a step back because it's so quick. He did a leg kick and the shin snapped, and you see it in slow motion. The foot is just like that.
That is my biggest nightmare.
It's such a horrible thing to watch.
My biggest nightmare is having a fingernail ripped off. or getting buried alive.
Buried alive getting is buried up there.
Getting buried alive is in a whole different league to a fingernail getting torn off.
Yeah, that is true, actually.
I'm not really bothered about a fingernail. I mean, it'd hurt, wouldn't it?
It would hurt, but it's not in the... Yeah, you're right, it's not in the same league. Did you ever have... like growing up when you were young, like a really young kid, like an irrational fear of something like that? Because genuinely, I used to have a totally irrational fear of getting buried alive when I was like 10.
Absolutely. I used to ruminate
on it.
Yeah. I, like, now looking back, if I'd have been a child now, like, I had an unhealthy obsession with dying. Like, it used to keep me awake at night, and being buried alive was kind of tied in with that. I used to obsess about death. My dad used to have to take me out in the car for a drive because I'd be like crying, going, oh, I don't want to die.
Into the woods.
Say, if you don't fucking stop worrying, I will fucking kill you.
Fucking pissing everyone off.
You've got a merchant of doom in the house.
I've got to drive back on my own.
It's like having Morrissey living upstairs.
Woody Allen.
I used to fear quicksand a lot because, like,
Of course you did.
Because I used to watch Tarzan, and it used to be on that all the time.
I will say, Quicksand used to be in about one in three films in the 80s, man. It was in so many fucking films. I used to think it was a really common thing, Quicksand. Turns out tell like, you, no one's ever died from it or something. It's some weird
statistic. That's right. That Ponderland program that Russell Brand hosted, but I absolutely loved it. It was kind of ripped off from In Bed With My Dinner, you know, the sort of it was the clip show.
Yeah, yeah.
And I can remember him showing an advert on there, and it was like the dangers of falling into like a corn, like
grinder, like a mincer.
He was just like going, "Who is this for? Like, why is there an advert on television for like the dangers of?" It was. I used to fucking love that program.
That's probably the scariest. One of the scariest things: falling in one of those like things that chop wood up, and your legs would be first. What point would you die? Like,
I reckon
it would
you'd
get to there,
pass
would
out. So, no, you'd pass
it would
out.
Just be a head screaming.
Imagine if they sort of managed to turn it off and just save your head. They're like, it's all right.
Oh, thanks, guys.
It's like that that Metallica song, One. You know that? Man, Landmine has taken his arms, taken his legs, and it's just like this guy. He's got no arms. No legs. I can imagine that happening to you, Julian, falling down one of those.
I'm just a head.
I reckon.
Would you
jam? I reckon it would jam on the like, and you when you're just you're
no, because the thing is, they don't jam. Like they're crushing fucking like tree trunks. They will crush all of you.
Yeah, I don't know. Then it's that would be rough. Yeah, I still think, but yeah, I think in terms of like them childhood irrational fears, Buried Alive was definitely my worst though. More than
that was in
that
Alfred Hitchcock film where the guy wanted to break out of prison, so he bribes the guy who worked in the mortuary to put him in a coffin and then dig him up later, like a mile away. And then at the end of the film, no, sorry to spoil it, but he lights a match and it's the guy who he did the arrangement with. Is in the coffin.
Fuck that.
Didn't Tarantino direct an episode of CSI and it was buried alive? There was, I'm sure there was something. Yeah, it was really good. So good. I can't remember what it was.
Yeah. drowning. I used to have quite a fear of drowning as well. I always thought that would be traumatic. Obviously, it would.
Yeah, I don't like the sea.
I don't like the sea. At the moment, I can't see. At the moment, it's too unknown, isn't it?
100%. I absolutely on board with that. I just not for
when
me.
People just jump off a boat out when it's like when they don't. If I can't see the bottom, I am not getting off that boat.
I know. Yeah, it's scary, man. If you can't see the bottom, you can see,
I reckon I would die instantly of fear if I was swimming and I saw a great white shark. Like I would die instantly.
I'll do everything wrong. I'll just keep still. I can't. Just
I would
screaming.
Genuinely. I would try and kill myself before the shark got me.
just punching yourself in the face. You could just suck in loads of water, couldn't you?
I tried to do. I couldn't hack it, mate. Then when you see them videos of like. Just like you see, like somebody who's on a surfboard and underneath a shark going under them. That is when I'm like,
man.
We should not be on their territory. Let them, that's their area, 100%. Mate. Fucking get out of it.
Yeah. Yes, I think that's sort of what separates humans from sort of most other animals is that we've figured out how to kind of like infiltrate their domain.
Totally.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it reminds me of Sean's routine. You don't see fish going for a walk, but it's true. You know, like as soon as the time comes when sharks sort of figure out a kind of mode of, you know, leisure transport in which they're able to sort of like like a Sinclair C5 around High Street. That's when the game
is up. It
shows
how smart we are, though, doesn't it? Like as a species.
What, that we can now figure out how to go and put ourselves at risk of potential shark attack?
Exactly.
Absolutely.
There was that guy who lost his leg by a shark, but he was still with the sharks. He was still doing the job. Like after he'd lost a leg, man. You'd think that'd trauma you a little bit.
Yeah, you think that might be a sign that you might be in the wrong job. You lose a leg.
Whereabouts in Australia are you at the moment, Carl? Are you sort
Melbourne.
Of near? Right. I forgive my ignorance, but is that on the coast? Is that?
Yeah. So Melbourne's on the coast, but it's sort of basically southeast. So you've got you've basically got Sydney's not you know Sydney's a an hour flight away.
So would you meet someone in the pub showing off a shark wound? Is it that kind of...
No, you don't really get that.
Old Larry.
You don't really get sharks down this way. You get... you don't really get... I mean, even like... And things like crocodiles and that are normally like up north. Or in like,
right.
Yes, like when I was in Darwin, there was beaches where they were like, don't walk down the beach at night and walk in the water or something. So, you know, there might be sort of...
Because there's crocs. Fuck, yeah.
Like, you know, that's sort of, they are, yeah, there's places where there are just...
I mean, how dangerous are they? Because they're quite low down, aren't they? Couldn't you just tread on it?
Crocodile?
Yeah.
I mean, they are pretty dangerous. I'd say a crocodile is, I've gone to like places where you can get right up close to them, like the other side of a thing. And they are the scariest thing I've ever stood.
They're like dinosaurs, aren't they?
They are. You look into their eyes,
they
man.
They can do 30 miles an hour, can't they? We went on holiday to Florida, and I was obsessing about alligators.
They could go the speed limit.
It might be alligators.
Not allowed to go down a school zone.
But we were obsessed. I was obsessing about alligators before we first went on holiday to Florida. And then when we got there, like... I'd gone with my in-laws, and they were there a week before us, and there was an alligator in the lake out the back of the villa that we were staying in, and it was kind of like, I don't know, like a mid-size, so it wasn't fully grown, probably about 6 foot long, but people were like feeding it, it would come up, and then every so often it would like make a run up on the bank, and everyone would sort of run away.
I think alligators aren't particularly aggressive, I think crocodiles are the bad ones, and it's also...
Right.
It's saltwater crocodiles, I think, are the fucking scary ones. They're the ones that grow massive. The little freshwater ones. I've swum in a lake that had freshwater crocodiles.
I have heard someone referred to as a saltwater croc, alluding to the fact that they were hard.
That's an excellent. Yeah. That is a great.
He's a saltwater croc, man.
Yeah. Thanks, man. But they drag you under this water and like do that death
that
roll with you, don't they?
You see,
imagine that. What's going through your head?
The fear. You're just spinning around in the water.
I'd just be trying to kill myself.
Again,
first.
Yeah. Totally.
I love the way that there's a sort of slightly slapstick element to the way that you think about the potential ways of dying. They all seem to end with a little sort of.
You do the same
exactly. The same kind of like Marx Brothers jazz hands and face to whatever horrific method of death you encounter.
It's do you know why they do this?
Imagine getting shot in the face. Landmine.
Do you know why they do the spin? Is to rip the limb off that they're chewing on.
Oh, that's all right.
I went to a crocodile park up in the Northern Territories of Australia years ago, and there's this crazy. There's this basically this madman about 50 years ago bought loads of land, and he did it for good reasons. Basically, there was a massive cull of crocodiles. It was back in the day. Because like people were thinking they were a pest, and you know this, they were just wiping them out essentially. And this guy, you know, there was a big campaign to stop that. I think it was in the 70s actually. And then this guy sort of set up a sanctuary for crocodiles. So he rescued ones that were going to be shot in an area that they were being, you know, they were sort of killing stuff. And they said they'd get rescued and they'd get flown up to Darwin to live in this sort of retirement park for mad crocodiles. And they're like, there's ones there that are so big. I'm talking like, you know, 10 meters long or some whatever. Like, you know, they're just the most terrifying, massive dinosaurs you'd ever see. But one, for some reason, he also hatched, I think it was 70 crocodiles in one lake, right? And crocodiles aren't meant to cohabit. They're meant to live individually. But he just did it as a like, well, I just want to see, if I just hatched a bunch in one lake, could they cohabit? It turns out they actually can. They all live together, but every single one of them's at least got one limb missing because they're a bit spicy. And so you'll just be sitting there. Like, we were just watching them.
Sounds like a pub in Woolwich.
That's what it's like. It's like they're all just fucking roughed up nutters with like cuts and grazes and arms off. And like, and apparently that's what they do. They just get into a bit of a scrape. Then one of them will grab one of them, their arms, do the spin, rip the arm off. And this is how you know they're fucking like from a different time. They don't even react when like a limb gets ripped off. They're just
old school. They'll have a straightener.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Just take
they just
it.
Just crack on.
Yeah. Imagine it's crazy. Like they don't cry or scream or nothing, mate. They just go, right, that's that then, isn't it? I've got an arm off.
They might not feel pain the same way.
Yeah,
we
I
do, maybe.
They don't. Because if I, yeah, I don't.
Well, they just don't give a shit about it.
Yeah.
Get an arm, a limb ripped off and then walk it off.
You know, Julian would be doing his fucking miles.
Yeah, exactly. Been torn limb from limb.
Have you ever read weird? This is a weird tangent, but it will make sense. Have you ever read Johnny Cash's autobiography?
No, is the film based on it?
Yeah. In that they're both about Johnny Cash.
No, but I mean, is the film actually based on the autobiography?
I do think it is. I think there's a lot of it I've is seen taken from it. But I remember there's actually one bit in the book that I remember thinking, "Fuck, man, how did that not make the film?" Right? When he moved to Jamaica for like the most of the later years of his life. And he had there was a lot of like wild, I think ostriches, not emus. I can't remember which one it is. They're both the same thing, really, innit? But the big scary fuckers. And one day, I think he might have been pissed or on drugs, but he was walking in the back like land, and he encountered an ostrich, and they're quite aggressive and confrontational. And rather than just do what you're meant to do, which is get out of their way, man, just don't you know engage. He tried to fight an ostrich, and the ostrich, with its talons, slashed his stomach open, and he almost died.
What's a talon?
Talon, like the sort of the fucking velociraptor claws.
Oh, have they got little hands?
No,
yeah.
No. On their feet, they've just got them big. They got fucking big. So they just went. Oh, this ostrich just kicked
like with
him.
A kick, basically.
Yeah, with a kick, just went totally sliced him open. That's mad,
fuck
isn't it?
That. They should have put that in that film.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I remember watching the film going, like, this is all well and good, but, you know, when's the
Jurassic Park hybrid?
When's the ostrich fight coming?
Some CGI.
It's not quite the sort of film they were trying to make, that, is it? It's like a fucking action film.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I feel like they really pulled out, they pussied out on that story, mate. That should have been the end. Just him in hospital having fought an ostrich and lost.
I never saw the film, actually. Is it any good?
Yeah,
very
it's
good.
Brilliant.
Joaquin Phoenix is excellent in it, isn't he?
He's so good, isn't he? Joaquin.
He is, yeah. He's good in everything. Like, even you go back and watch Gladiator, and he's just...
He was great in that, wasn't he?
He plays that creepy fucking...
I've never seen Gladiator. Do you know what? I might watch that today.
You've never seen Gladiator?
No.
Oh, my God, it's brilliant.
Yeah, I might watch that today.
I mean, that is one of... That's like... That's up there for me, like in terms of films to not have seen. You know, when people say like, "Oh, I've never seen Star Wars," I would say that was such a big movie.
Epic. I know, just never. I don't know why it just never appealed to
it's
me.
Beautiful, but... it's a beautiful film.
I wouldn't have. I mean, that wasn't how I described it.
You're now making me not want to see it. Can you never describe a film as beautiful ever again?
It's a beautiful movie, man.
Beautiful.
I just love that picture. It's a great picture.
Beautiful.
Isn't it annoying when actors call films pictures? You're like, fuck off.
Yeah, it's a film, mate.
It was a great picture.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know if beautiful is how I'd describe it, but it's just a good old fashioned epic.
But it had a lot in it, didn't it? Had a lot. I won't ruin it.
Have you watched Palm Springs?
No. What is it?
Oh, it's the new. Is it Lonely Island? You know those guys?
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah. It's kind of, I suppose it's almost like a genre of film now. It's kind of Groundhog Day. They're kind of stuck in an infinite loop.
Okay.
I think you'll both love it. It's a beautiful film.
Beautiful
really.
Picture.
it's absolutely beautiful.
It was a great picture, man. Great picture. I tried to watch American Graffiti the other day.
Oh, you fucking hell. I've not seen
rubbish.
That ever. American Graffiti?
Fucking rubbish. Yeah, I tried to watch it. I had to turn it off. I'm like, it's like Grease, but with no songs.
It's basically any high school film.
That is a much better review. I am a big fucking shit, mate. It's not Grease without any songs.
it, it, it had such a good cast in it, though. Like, Harrison Ford's in it, isn't he?
Superstar. Like fucking Grease without any song.
It was so slow-paced and just a bit boring.
It's a classic. It's just, you know.
I know, yeah. I've heard that it is.
It depends, you know. It's
just weren't in a mood. I just turned it off. I remember Reservoir Dogs.
I remember when... Like, and he's changed his tune since. But again, it's all about mood and where you're at and all that stuff. I remember when Chris Martin first watched There Will Be Blood, which is arguably one of the best films of the last 20 years.
I didn't finish that either, actually.
Well, yeah, and Chris was like, no, it was fucking long and slow and nothing happened.
Well, it is. I mean, it's like you have to get on board with the pacing of that film.
Totally. Like, you've got to sit back and just let it happen.
Such a slow burn. Yeah, it's brilliant. I love it, man.
I think your mic might have come out. Yeah. I think when you lost it at the Grease review, you've managed
to... Is that better? Can you hear me now?
It's still a little bit. Maybe it's switched over on the just on the old system.
Listeners might not have noticed, but Paul literally knocked his mic off the table on hearing one of Julian's film reviews. We should do that—a weekly film review, mate.
Yeah, Pulp Fiction is one of the top five of all time. I think.
What is?
I watched it again. Pulp Fiction.
Hello.
It's still not coming. You're not still not on mic. I don't think.
You're not on properly. We can hear you, but it's just a bit more tinny.
How's that?
That's good. There we go.
Yeah, okay.
Back in the game.
Sorry about that.
No, Pulp Fiction, I think, it's a classic. I wouldn't put it top five.
I'd say top five for me.
What are the other four?
Shawshank, but that's just a bit hacked to say because everyone loves it. I just think it's so good.
I wouldn't... I loved Shawshank at the time, but I wouldn't rush back to watch Shawshank. You know what I mean? So I think it had its time for me. I think
Grease is one of the best films.
We gathered that, mate.
Pulp Fiction's like... I mean, There Will Be Blood was just like Grease without a song. You know what I mean?
Hey, do you just get 30 minutes into any film and just like, where's the songs, mate? I mean, at least it had a bit of music in Jaws. All right, there was no lyrics, but...
Where's the hand jive? Who's gonna kick it off?
Brilliant.
What do you like, other musicals? We've never talked about musicals.
I caught on our TV upstairs, we've got Ratuken TV, and they've got like a comedy movie channel.
It's Ratuken.
I've got no idea, but it's just it's like a free view. Right. They've got like a comedy movie channel on there, which just occasionally plays some good films that I've not seen. Have you seen The Freshman with Marlon Brando in it? There's just sort of like all these films you're going like, the hell is this? But anyway, they had, is it Everybody Says I Love You? Which is a Woody Allen musical. And I was only able to watch about half an hour of it, but it looked excellent.
Okay. I watched for the first time.
And that was like a Woody Allen. That was like Grease with the songs.
Excellent.
So Julian, it's be right up your street.
It's great stuff.
Have you seen Singing in the Rain?
I haven't seen. I watched a Gene Kelly dance routine the other day.
Yeah.
I was learning it, not really.
I've talked about it on here. Though,
but he's on roller skates. Have you seen this one? He does on roller skates.
He was out. Like, he was obviously, we've discussed him briefly before, but he was a different level, mate. But
yeah,
Gene Kelly?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, fuck me, that guy could dance. He could just, back in the day, then people that could do everything. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like Fred Astaire, did I speak about him before on a podcast? Fred Astaire, he did this award show and he went on and they asked him to dance and his dancing was so shit. It was like, it was so bad. Like he was just improvising just on the spot. But one of his dance moves was this. He started just doing that. What the fuck are you doing? That's what he was doing, all this stuff. It's like he just was riffing, like it was rubbish. In his day, he was probably quite good. I don't...
arguably Fred one of the greatest Astaire. Dancers of all time. He was rubbish, mate.
That's amazing. Yeah, I love it. That's something that always really impresses me when someone can like properly move.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Christopher Walken's a good dancer, isn't he?
Yeah, he's good. Yeah. Travolta's good though, isn't he?
Yeah. Oh,
I mean, Saturday Night Fever.
Dreamy guy.
Is that I love Saturday Night Fever as a film, and as a sound, and the soundtrack is brilliant. And we talked about the. Have you seen the Bee Gees documentary, the HBO one?
I've got it downloaded. I've not got around to watching it yet.
Mate,
no.
It is beautiful.
It's a beautiful picture, that one.
No, it is actually really sad, and like it will make you. I mean, I'm a big Bee Gees fan, which sounds like a sentence that is almost embarrassing to say. But actually, I mean, I like them from Massachusetts. I like all their back catalogue.
Yeah,
and I think they're sort of people's views of the Bee Gees is slightly tarnished by disco, isn't it? They just think they're a disco band. They forget that they were around for fucking 20 years before that. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, the disco was good, though, to be fair.
I love
fair,
it.
Wasn't
and
it,
when you get to the documentary, when they talk about the making of Saturday Night Fever's soundtrack, it's one of the most exciting bits of a documentary I've ever seen. Like, it just how it all snowballed and ended up being like the biggest thing in the world is so exciting. You're sitting there like, fucking yes, please. But it's great.
I think with John Travolta, he's just sort of quite an unlikely dancer, isn't he? He just doesn't... He's got quite a big head, hasn't he? He looks sort of Sam Allardyce. He's got a really chunky head, which sort of, you know, you don't usually associate with someone with such nimble footwork.
No, you don't. You think it would sort of counterbalance them or something.
The head chunk to nimble feet ratio is, like, really off in that particular individual, but well, what a dancer.
Fred Astaire? I think Fred Astaire, for his size and stature, had quite a big head. Maybe it actually
I mean, he must have been good in his day. It was him and Gene Kelly used to do dancing together, didn't they? I was saying.
Who?
No. Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers, wasn't it?
Ginger Rogers.
But John Fred Travolta, and Ginger.
John, do you know who else was a really good dancer? Swayze.
I'm going to say Hitler then. Tell you who else is a good dancer.
I mean for all his faults, he had great hips.
I mean, Hitler's Dancing is probably the only documentary left to make about him. Come in next week on Discovery Channel. Hitler's nimble feet.
Hitler's footwork. Hitler's slut drops.
But there is a
Swayze was good, yeah.
Excellent documentary about Swayze. It's a 2-hour documentary called I Am Patrick Swayze. And it's sad, obviously, because it covers the end. But his mum was a ballet teacher, so he was a trained ballet dancer from like very young. He was great, but he then learned other dance, contemporary dance, and like he was a dancer before he was an actor, and like this documentary just follows him through the whole getting into acting and becoming this star. It's really exciting to watch. Like, you forget again. I think he's like, you know, he's almost like the Bee Gees. I think people think of Swayze and go, "Oh, what a bloke from Dirty Dancing." They forget he was
I was going to say Roadhouse. Roadhouse, a film.
One of my favourite 80s films. Like, what's the guy?
Wayne Newton. Wayne Newton, wasn't it?
No, what, his name?
No, not Wayne Newton. What was the guy that was the other tough guy with
Wade Garrett,
long hair?
I believe is his
Wade
name.
Wade Garrett, that's him.
And what's his name? His name's Dalton something.
Dalton, yeah. He did that crazy move where it rips someone's
throat out.
That's totally impossible.
It rips a throat out, mate. Double rip.
That's the sort of thing that there's someone in the pub that can do that. He can move.
Yeah,
where
he knows mate, pressure points.
He was a real saltwater croc. Could rip a throat out.
Swayze was fucking great, wasn't he?
Oh man, good looking guy.
I love Point Break.
I love it so much.
Such a great film.
One of my faves.
It's definitely sort of slightly diminishing returns. I think it's not quite holding up now in the way that some films maybe are.
I still watch it once a year.
Oh yeah. Oh,
I
easily
still
once
love
a year.
It. You've got to
watch it today.
Cocktail was my big one, man. I used to fucking love that film.
Mate, I watched Cocktail during lockdown because Hannah had never seen it.
What?
Yeah, I was so shocked. So I said,
"Mind you, this
Cocktail.
Is coming from someone who's never seen Gladiator. Shocked that someone's not seen Cocktail. I think that tells you everything you need to know about me."
Here's an embarrassing thing. I almost, at one point in my life, got Coughlin's Laws. You know, from Cocktail.
Yeah.
I almost got them tattooed on me.
Wow.
That's how much I love Cocktail. Like, it is, it's one of my childhood favourite films.
Me too. Brilliant film.
I used to fancy Elizabeth Shue so much.
Oh, man. Oh. So happy to see her in Cobra Kai.
Is she in it? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, we've talked about Cobra Kai. We're okay.
She's in Back to the Future as well, wasn't she?
She's in Back to the Future. She's in...
As the mum.
What did I watch the other day that she was in?
No, as the girlfriend.
Oh.
She's in loads of stuff. She's in the quite bad Kevin Bacon Invisible Man film from the early 2000s.
Elizabeth Shue, so
I don't think she's in Back to the Future, is she?
Yeah, she is. She's Martin the babysitter. Girlfriend.
Are you sure about that?
100%. Come on, we'll get
IMDb up, man.
I'm not sure about this.
She's a girlfriend in Karate Kid. The girlfriend in Back to the
Future. Yeah, definitely Karate Kid.
It is. She was arguably typecast.
Back to the Future.
For a period of time, but I loved her so much. She's so pretty and nice.
Do you know what? I did not. I love Back to the Future. I did not know that was Elizabeth Shue.
There we go. Yeah. Do you know why? Because is it the first Back to the Future she wasn't the girlfriend? Didn't she replace the original actor or something? I can't remember.
I just remembered what she's
in recently that I really liked. Have you seen The Boys, the Amazon Prime series?
No, I couldn't get on with that. I watched the first episode and found it a bit...
I really liked it. It's quite cheesy and a bit... I got into it, but she plays quite a bad lady in that. And
I watched the funniest thing the other day, and it's on YouTube. It's called Camping with that Julia Davis.
I really want to watch that. She's so funny. Extraordinary talent.
Yes.
She's so good.
Just yeah.
Nighty but Night.
It's called Nighty Camping. Night is so good. And it's
Sally
on
Forever
YouTube.
As well. Did you watch that?
No.
She's brilliant in that.
What is it?
You should watch this. It's fuck. It's that guy out of League of Gentlemen, one of them.
Yeah.
But it's so funny. But the problem is there's five episodes on YouTube, but the sixth episode is on Sky. Like, you know, you can watch stuff on Sky Go if you've got an account. So if it's on Sky Go if you've got a Sky account.
I'm going to watch that.
There.
Yeah.
It's so good. So funny. Yeah,
I will check that out. I've got a few things on my list. Basically, I'm going to Queensland on Wednesday, and it's the first time since my daughter was born that I'll be away from her for a night, for more than a night. I've not been away for any nights, obviously, because we was locked down, and then here we're in Melbourne. I've been coming back obviously after gigs, but like I'm going to Queensland for a few days of gigs. So what I'm going to do, I think, is use that time to watch loads
get
of stuff
some scrunt. Use that time to put myself about a bit, you know what I'm saying?
I could get a brass. I'm gonna watch stuff. I'm gonna sit in a hotel room and watch so much shit, man. So that's I'll put that on the list. I want to watch the QAnon HBO documentary. That's meant to be very good.
So how can you watch HBO then? What channel is that on in England? We ain't got HBO
HBO
on anything.
Goes on Now TV. Like, they've got this
Sky documentary.
So that's how I watched the Bee Gees one was on Now TV.
The third series of Crashing never turned up on Sky, which I was a bit disappointed about because I really like that. I love anything about American comedy. I enjoy immensely.
Right.
That Comedy Store documentary was
great.
Oh,
my God. I watched that three times.
What is it?
I'd never heard of that.
It's a five-part documentary about the American Comedy Store. It's fucking
so good.
Superb.
It's so good.
It's really good.
Is
it a
recent it is beautiful.
It's a beautiful piece of picture.
That's Julian's review for it. A beautiful piece of picture. What is it? Is it a recent documentary that's sort of?
Yeah, I think it's made in the last.
Last year.
But it goes right. It goes from the 70s. It's on Sky Documentaries.
Okay.
I'd never heard of that Freddie Prinze Jr. before, had you? Freddie Prinze, rather. That's Freddie Prinze Jr., the actor's dad.
His dad. He killed himself, didn't he?
Yeah, I'd never heard of him because he famously was getting jealous when Travolta was getting big because he was the guy on all the magazines for a while. Then Travolta took over from Saturday Night Live. He got so jealous, he went to the hotel and tried shooting Travolta, shot his hotel room.
Did he?
And yeah, Travolta never knew what had happened. He just, there was a bullet in his hotel door. That is in the documentary, isn't it, Paul? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, good, yeah. Because I was telling somebody the other day, I was thinking, this sounds so unbelievable. <Made up. laughs> I sound like I'm making it up.
I didn't know.
Do I have a dream or something?
I didn't even know Travolta was on Saturday Night Live.
No, not Saturday Night Live. Saturday Night Fever, sorry.
Saturday Night Fever.
Thanks for correcting every part of my story.
No, but I didn't. I don't know any of the edit.
He was actually in Greece.
Who? John Travolta?
Yeah.
No way.
Do you like Greece too, Julian?
No, I think it's a fucking sham.
I
mean, it's all about the music, innit? That just ain't going to hold up, is it?
I really like it. That say Grease 2 is better than Grease 1.
I think it's great. I love it.
I mean, it's
not a bad film. Michelle Pfeiffer's great, isn't she? But who was the main guy in it again?
The main guy, I've forgotten the guy's name. He was a good
one. I watched Scarface again the other day.
Where's that in the top five?
You know what, though? It's not an amazing film. I'm watching it, I feel like I'm Tony Montana. You know what I mean? Like,
around.
and then someone slaps the coffee out of my hand and I crumble.
That scene at the end is just taking out people with that machine gun. They all go...
slipping on banana skins.
I mean, it's definitely at a certain age that film really sort of like hits, doesn't it?
Yeah, when you're
sort of mid 20s, when you kind of first do a line of coke or whatever.
You know? I know,
nightclub in like fucking Croydon rather than Miami Beach.
Double fisted, double vodka and Red Bulls.
I didn't realise that I sort of, for some reason, just since I've been in Oz. On stage, I've been dressing up quite smart. I find it quite funny since I've grown my hair.
I thought that video was bloody brilliant, by the way.
Cheers, mate.
Yeah.
But that sort of light grey suit with a Hawaiian shirt is quite a sort of... And I realise it's... I think it is. It comes from that sort of Scarface thing of that Miami drug dealer in the 80s look.
Yeah. El Chapo or something.
But I didn't even realise. It's because, you know... Basically, if I hadn't worn a Hawaiian shirt, if I wore a normal shirt, it would be Swiss.
It'd be bare chest.
It's
quite a feat that you've managed to get to a point where you can walk on. I mean, if I sort of went on stage at my next gig wearing that outfit, just come backstage and go, no, but seriously, though, they've got to get rid of all these restrictions. Just, they're impending on our freedom, you know what I mean? You haven't had the vaccine, have you? Oh, fucking hell, mate. Not you as well.
I got a few messages because I posted that video of the vaccine.
Yeah.
Like, I had the vaccine and about three people messaged me, how much did you get paid? And someone just said, they don't believe me that I didn't get paid to promote. Right. They think I'm promoting it. Like,
right.
I just did a stupid video.
A vaccine influencer.
Exactly.
Well, that's not. I know a few people that have. Well, I mean, I know a couple of people that online are peddling that. They're saying like that. You know, when there's been loads of people. I know we've probably all got mates who've had their vaccine and got to put their photo of them with their card. Got it. You know, online.
Yeah.
And there are other people like that genuinely are convinced that they are being paid by the government to do those photos.
I mean, I do videos of other stuff. It's not like I'm getting paid like for any of it. I wish.
Exactly. It's I mean, it's
in the end, I just said I did get paid. They were like, how much? I was like, just £2,000. I said £2,000. They asked me not to say anything and I just left it there.
That's it. Just feed the conspiracy for a laugh.
That'd be around WhatsApp groups.
Yeah, definitely. Screenshot. That'll be on a Reddit forum going, this is, I've got a man in the know. It's just, you know, it is what it is. Wasn't there a big
massive yesterday, yeah,
in central London,
Oxford Street.
Yeah, a lot of people were there.
How many people?
Hundreds.
I'm surprised you're back in time for this, Julian.
Yeah, I just got back. Yeah,
must have been the tubes open and stuff.
Yeah,
get your second dose and then go down there. That'd be quite.
I'm the only one vaccinated up there, but yeah, I don't care. People don't get a vaccine or get it. I don't care. But I've got no strong opinion.
I've got the luxury of not being there, you know. I mean, I'm in a country.
I mean, I did feel like shit the next day, and I know it's not. It's probably.
Oh man, I felt bloody awful.
Yeah. Did you have a temperature and that?
24 hours, like full on, like aching all over, headache. Yeah, just. Ugh.
But that's. I mean, like, again, that's not a reason to put somebody off anything, is it? Like that's like that. If you're afraid of feeling like that, you'd
bearing in mind, I've spent most of the last 30 years hungover. Exactly. I think it's a small price to pay to potentially not die.
Yeah.
Bearing in mind, I have had pretty much a constant hangover for most of my adult life.
I'm so out of the fold that actually I did. It's that thing here. No, there's no chat about COVID really because they just shut the borders and like, you know, it's that I've now and again I open Twitter and I see that in the UK it's still like a hot topic. You know what I mean? So like
it's massive.
Like, that's how I saw that thing about the protest earlier on. I forgot there's still just like people just fucking arguing about it and stuff. It's got surely what's the.
But it's all opening up now. Like, it's all opening up. There probably won't be vaccine passports. I don't know what they're kicking.
I know. Well, this is the thing. I've, you know, the kind of most rational kind of like response or inquiry to this that I've seen from anyone online is basically, I don't actually understand what it is they. What would be a successful outcome for them as a result of this? You know, what? So, okay, we've listened to what you're saying, and what?
Open up care homes to the public first and just see how it goes.
Yeah, you know, I feel like I'm out of the loop. I don't really know what they're calling for.
I mean, because a lot like
but absolutely people. Sorry, go on, Julian.
No, sorry,
I was just gonna say, you know, obviously live and let live. People believe what they want to believe, but then I'm not ramming my opinions down other people's throat and sort of going, you know, when people sort of go to shake your hand and I'll put an elbow, you know, it's sort of like, oh, you're not doing that, are you? And it's like, like, you know, that's when I start to go, listen, you know, I don't want to, I mean, I've not made a particularly compelling point there.
This is what $2,000 from the government for that one, mate.
I don't expect to be on Question Time this week. We've got Paul here. He's got quite a lot of interesting stuff to say on the subject. So, Paul, what's your take?
We're sat about elbows. Oh, fuck you, mate. I'm a comedian, for fuck's sake.
Okay, any questions? Any questions for Paul? Yeah, what the fuck are you on about?
What's everyone talking about? I think bumping knuckles is more hygienic anyway. Like, just
I've never liked handshakes.
I've never liked handshakes.
No, every time I leave a gig, I'll always go for a piss before I leave, wash my hands, and specifically not dry them, so that when I come out and go, oh, I won't shake your hand, my hands are still wet. I don't want to shake someone's shitty hand.
I know. Like, it's not just COVID. Like, there's other shit you could get, isn't there? The other diseases and stuff.
Yeah,
it's just.
It's not something I wouldn't like rue the day that, you know. I'm not going to.
I mean, you'll catch less from someone by hugging them, won't you, than shaking the hand? Because their hand's been touching everything. You're going to shake the hand, probably touch your mouth.
Yeah, probably.
You might as well just suck their dick.
Your Honour.
Which in some countries is how they actually greet one another.
That's how we do it in my bubble.
Oh, God. We should probably wrap it up.
Fine. I've completely stitched myself up there.
Yeah. Now you've outed yourself as a shill.
A xenophobe.
But we were going to be joined by Sean Walsh, but he didn't appear, which is not out of character, so that's fine. Have you recorded any more of your podcast with Sean?
Yes, that's the sort of new series imminent.
Excellent.
I don't know when, but that's kind of soon.
Where can people find it?
That's on all the usual platforms, Julian. It's called What's Upset You Now. It is 15 minutes long. And if I do say so myself, it is beautiful.
It is beautiful.
Yeah. It's a beautiful picture.
I'd argue it's like Greece without the music.
It's like Greece with the songs.
But it's very funny, actually.
And it's only 15 minutes long, so even if you don't like it, you can listen to just one and go, nah, not really for me. But
which I reckon most
it's a very low stakes. Hard. Yeah, it's, you know, in terms of risk and reward, there's a low risk for potentially. I mean, there's only about 10 episodes out there, so, you know, if you
it's
do
a nice
like
length,
it.
15 minutes, like, lovely. Pop down the shot.
That's what she said.
maybe should we cut ours down, Julian, to 15 minutes?
We should just.
I think you could go shorter based on what I've heard today. I reckon.
Oh, mate, yeah. Cut out the fat from our podcast. It's a 6-minute roundup.
6-minute film review.
Well, yeah, basically, it's the first episode in. Well, it's 100. This is episode 110. It's the first.
Oh, wow!
One
thanks for having me. Thanks for having me back on Melbourne. Such a significant number. it's a big episode. It's the 117th episode, so we've got a special guest this week to celebrate.
I think, you know, we probably could do with Sean in it. We do love, but I think we also quite enjoy the waffling. You know what I mean? It's not
it's
just be a gentle chat among friends.
I think it could be longer.
Should we do longer? Maybe should we go Joe Rogan style and start doing 3 hours?
Yeah, maybe not for this episode though, guys. Okay,
strap in. Go get a coffee. Yeah. 2 more hours, guys.
Good luck with a new format next week.
Let's go to our commercial break quickly. We'll be back in the studio in 5.
More of Paul's takes on the coronavirus. Hour
Hot
2.
Takes.
we'll wrap it up. It's been very fun, as always.
Good. Yeah, thanks for having me on. Lovely to see you both.
Hopefully things
thanks
are back
for coming,
to normal
man.
Soon.
Yeah. When you back?
We're meant to be flying back. Our flights technically come back on the 19th of June.
Okay.
But that depends on, you know, it could all fall apart, innit? The travel at the minute is somewhat up and down and, you know, cancellations. So, yeah, it might be, it should, if things are go to plan, it'll be late June, but it might be pushed out a little bit. Because, you know, they're changing the travel rules for in the UK late May, so we'll know then what's happening.
Yeah.
Nice, though. I quite like the idea of just, like, seeing, let's see what happens, man. You know what I mean? Maybe I might just like live in Australia. I don't know. But illegally, because I'm not a citizen.
You could become one, though, couldn't you?
Yeah. I could get my visa via Hannah, but we haven't applied for that yet. But we probably will at some point, because it's good to have for the future, isn't it?
Definitely. So Twyla's got a citizenship in both countries.
Dual citizen, mate. If you have a baby and your partner's from overseas, you always register them as dual citizens from birth. Give them the options, innit?
I should have done that to my kids, really. I never did. I don't know if I still can.
So, I mean, it is a bit late. They're all very much born and registered.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, let's wrap this up rather than talking about our children's citizenship. Paul, cheers for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Everyone. Thanks to our new patrons, by the way.
Yeah, thanks to everyone who's signed up. And that is it for this week. Bye.
I think you died of AIDS in an alleyway.